It's Monitor, all right. With sports, lots of great music, and in just 3 minutes, Debbie Reynolds tells us what method she uses to understand and discipline her teenage children. I'm Ed McMahon. I'm sure you know these two.
When your husband doesn't touch your best dessert, when you find the purple lipstick on his shirt, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over, and you better be on the alert.
When your wife decides that she should wear the pants, when she puts you down each time she gets the chance, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over, and you'd better search for some romance.
Time you saw your old trusty lawyer.
When your husband suddenly becomes a swell,
when your wife is bored by every joke you tell, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over, and you may as well pack up, move on, tell him, darling, beware.
And Edie Gourmet, for whom the honeymoon is obviously not over. Although not exactly a honeymooner, actress Debbie Reynolds has such vitality, zip, and love of life, she almost seems to be on a perpetual honeymoon. Beneath the exterior of the cute, perky, fun girl lies a sensible woman, wife, and mother. Her family now includes teenagers, and her point of view on understanding them and her use of discipline makes interesting listening. On a recent visit in Kansas City, she discussed this and other family matters as she talked with Monitor reporter Del Donahue.
Debbie, I know there are 5 children in your family, including 2 teenagers. Would you mind telling us your approach to understanding them and to this problem of discipline?
Well, I don't think there really is any problem of disciplining them, and because my 2 teenagers I've only had living with me a year now, because they are from my husband's first marriage, and then his first wife passed away, so then the children came to live with us, and it's, of course, it was very difficult for them to have me as a mother, you might say, because I'm not so long removed that I don't remember all the good excuses and all the conning that goes with trying to get out of doing things. And or if they want to get to go to a party and they don't deserve to go to a party, how they can try to talk you into it. Of course, I've always gotten along great with young people because I don't treat them as the word teenagers. I really treat them as young individuals. And I really feel that the young people today have many more problems than I had or you had or anybody had growing up, because the family was more stressed, church was more stressed, things that really give young people an inner sense of security. We're more stressed, and Not, I don't think, today.
As you come in contact with young people, do you see evidence that possibly some of them are spoiled with too much money and too little to do, too few responsibilities?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of the money. I always feel it's a matter of neglect. And that can come in all areas. Can come with the poor, can come with medium class, it can come in the very wealthy individuals. I live in two worlds, rather. I've lived in a world without money, and I now live in a world with money. And I find, really, that it's easier to raise them with just enough money, you know, an average family. With a lot of money, there are many problems that arise where if you say to the child, no, you can't have a car, you have to earn the car. Why, they say. Two Rolls Royces in the garage and a chauffeur running around, you know, or you have to wash the car, or you have to paint this, or you have to do that. It's very hard for them to comprehend that it's something you want them to learn for their good. I hope my children won't be. I try not to spoil them. And they don't seem to be so far. They're very considerate. Of course, I do stress doing things and doing things with the family, and I'm always with the children. We never take a vacation or go without the children because I think it's important that the family be together.
Can you be stern when you have to be?
Oh, if you knew me better, yes, you know I would be. I'm very strict, yes, about certain things. I'm fun. I love fun. I love a good time, and I love a laugh better than anybody. But certain things are just not done, and that's it. And then they have the discipline. And I believe in the old-fashioned way of spanking. I think that if a child is really disobedient, he deserves a spanking, period. And if he doesn't deserve that degree of punishment, then I believe in isolation. I think they should have to go to their room and just stay there, period. And no lunch and no dinner, and just stay there and make yourself unhappy. Don't make the rest of the world unhappy with your unpleasantness. So I stick to my guns about that, and then I don't have television during the week for the children because I feel that they should create and stimulate their own imagination. At least when I was a child, we used to put on plays and make up games. And I find the children of today sit there in front of that box and those eyes fall right out of their heads, you know, and they don't know any games to play and they don't know what to do with themselves. Children come over to our house and I'll say, well, you guys go on out and play now, you know. What? They say, what? I say, what? A game, a wonderful game. There's all kinds of games to play, you know, that you can play in the grass, do all kinds of... They have no imagination.
You said that you had known life without money. Did you have a difficult childhood? Would you mind reminiscing about your childhood?
Well, I don't think my childhood was ever difficult, no. We had no money. I mean, we lived in El Paso, Texas. I was born there. And we lived... my father ran a station. Rather, he worked for a man that ran a station. So we lived behind the station. And
you mean a service station?
A service station. Mm-hmm. So we lived in one room behind that, and there was no bathroom facilities or things of that sort. But I don't think that it was difficult in the sense of neglect, as I said before, because we had love. My mother was very young, and she was always fun and still is. And we didn't have very much to eat and such, but my daddy used to kill jackrabbits on the desert and snitch beans from a bean field, and that was about it. I mean, I never had a steak or anything, meat, you know, like that until I was about 20. We were hamburger weenies, you know, 48 ways to fix hamburger. And, but I grew up fine, I'm strong, and there was nothing wrong with that. It was very good for me. And you learned a lot of values that probably I wouldn't have learned otherwise.
Did you do a great deal of work?
Well, yes, I ran around the house. I had my chores to do. And then I did a lot of, when I wanted to earn any money, I never dug ditches, but I used to clean other people's homes and wash cars, and I had a paper route, and then I worked in a bowling alley, and I collected pop bottles, and we all worked, but then that was to be expected. We all still work.
Thank you, Debbie. It's been a delightful visit. Debbie Reynolds visiting with Monitor while in Kansas City recently to accept the Star of the Year Award for her role in Columbia Pictures' Divorce American Style. This is Del Donahue for Monitor.
An admirable young lady. Make that admirable young lady, that one. You know, a high school friend said of Debbie, she was cute, but she didn't have any clothes. I think she got asked to one dance. Well, it doesn't seem to have marred her life. Exactly. Maybe there's a lesson there for today's teenagers.
Hello. Oh, hello, Mrs. Baker?
That's me, honey. Same as the name on the door.
I'm doing a survey for International Harvester. Mr. Baker owns a Cub Cadet tractor?
Yes, lovely little machine. Built for keeps, you know. Just like the big IH tractor.
Right, and which model do you have?
The big husky one, doll. The Tiger.
I see. 12 horsepower. That's a gear drive or hydrostatic transmission?
Honey, do I look like a mechanic to you?
No. No, you certainly don't. Tell me, now that the cadet zips through all the yard work around here, how does your husband spend his extra free time? What's his hobby?
Well, would you believe he spends a lot of time on the golf course?
You'll have more time for your hobbies with a Cub Cadet tractor. 7, 10, and 12 horsepower with either gear drive or hydrostatic transmission. For your nearest cadet dealer, phone Western Union. Ask for operator 25. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
Valentine's got the flavor that says, hey friend, do it again, Valentine's here. Hey friend, do it again, Valentine's here. Good to start with Valentine, good to stay with Valentine. The flavor's great, that's the free ring sign. Valentine's got the flavor that says, hey friend, do it again, Valentine, Valentine's beer.
Valentine Bock Beer is here, and it's better than ever. It's going faster than ever, too. So look for Valentine Bock wherever beer is sold. It's Wunderbock.
Hey, friend, do it again. Valentine, Valentine Beer.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of conversation.
The time is 20 minutes after the hour. You're back with Monitor. I'm Ed McMahon. This young lady is Claudine Longer. In private life, Mrs. Andy Williams.
Nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark to date. There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark to date.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
Now, Monitor Sports. Zora Foley of Chandler, Arkansas, says he's 33 years old. The ring record says he's closer to 35, and people who have known Foley for some time believe he could be 37. If Foley's age is a question mark, his chances against heavyweight champion Cassius Clay Muhammad Ali are no mystery. It's virtually unanimous that he doesn't have a hope. The lone dissenters, Foley and his manager Bill Swift, who spoke to Monitor sports editor Len Dillon.
Zora Foley, you meet Cassius Clay Wednesday night in Madison Square Garden for the heavyweight championship of the world. Do you really think you have a chance against Cassius Clay?
Well, I know I got a chance against him. I'm real confident in winning the fight.
Bill Swift, you're Zora's manager. Now, you heard what Challenger said. Obviously, you feel he has a chance.
Well, I think, actually, if you itemize their ability on both sides, comparing punching power, boxing ability, speed, experience, I think Zora has many more things in his favor than Muhammad Ali does. The only advantage I can see that Ali has is he has more leg speed.
Zora, they claim that when a man goes to you and starts throwing punches, that you have a tendency to get flustered.
Well, out of 82 fights, I got 41 knockouts, so I can say 41 men got flustered. I didn't.
Well, basically, you're a counterpuncher, are you not?
Well, with the experience I got, I can be a counterpuncher. I can lead the fight. I can do anything in the ring. I'd go along with the experience I have.
Do you have a preference in how you fight, or does it depend upon your opponent all the time?
I have a preference on how I fight. It depends mostly on how my opponent fight. In any way he fight, I can do just the opposite to make the fight up.
Bill, how will Zora fight the champion Wednesday night?
We have no set pattern. Anytime you make a definite plan for a fight, you're rather foolish because things can reverse themselves so, and then you're lost. We tried this once with a definite plan, and it didn't work. So with Zora's experience, we just, after a round or two, see which is most successful, and that's the way we go.
Zora, have you watched Clay box?
Some fighters, the last two fights down in Houston. And yes, I saw those two fights. Then I saw him fight once or twice on television.
Well, then you must have an idea of what you're going to do.
That's right. I have an idea of what I'm going to do. Like I say, after the fight getting going along, then I can put stuff to it as I see it.
Would you concentrate on his body and switch to the head later on once you bring his guard down? Or do you intend to counterpunch and box and let him make the moves come to you because of his speed?
Well, like I say, once the fight gets going, then I have all my plans set for then. I can't say what I'll do now because I don't know what he's going to do.
In other words, you're not going to tell me your secret, are you?
That's right.
Zora, you made a remark that you felt you could have been heavyweight champion, and I believe you were quoted. If Floyd Patterson had given you a fight, do you feel that Patterson ran away from you because he was afraid of you or what?
Well, that's the only thing I can see. I was number one contender for about 2 years while he was champion, didn't get the fight. So I can't see why he didn't fight if he wasn't scared of losing his title.
Bill, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think this is very evident that Patterson feared Zora when he was champion and still does as far as that goes. We've had, on two occasions, almost boxed him since he lost the title, and that always fell apart. So I'm sure that Patterson just feels that Zora is a better man than he is.
Well, Zora Foley, I want to wish you all the best Wednesday night and hope you succeed and become the next heavyweight champion of the world.
Thank you very much.
Bill Swift, thank you ever so much, and good luck to you, too.
Thank you, Len.
Glenn Dillon for Monitor Sports.
And now a word about State Farm.
Hello, anybody. I'm Henry Morgan, which may not seem very important to you, but it's very important to State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company, because if I'm not Henry Morgan, I'll sue them for using my name on the air. What is important to you is that you can get more protection and service for less money when you insure your car with State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company. Even if you don't have the world's largest car.
All about sports, the big names and the big stories every weekend on Monitor.
Alpert's Tricky, Tijuana Brass, and Wade in the Water. Monitor, traveling with you every weekend, a good listening companion anywhere in the nation. In the Worcester, Massachusetts area, they hear us on WTAG. Hello, Worcester. And greetings along the line to all our NBC stations who'll take the next few minutes to identify themselves. Ed McMahon here.
At home or on the road, stay with Monitor on the NBC Radio Network. The famous Cantry stocking in the little black box is the Little Nothing by Cameo. Look for the little black box.
Your husband been fired? Is he looking for an executive job? Send him to the 40 Plus Club. They'll help him without charge. Telephone BE36086 or call at 15 Park Row.
Monitor Music here as the Bob Crew Generation plays A Lover's Concerto. On Monitor, Peggy Lee singing Sweet Happy Life.
My wish for you, sweet happy life. May all the days of the year that you live be laughing days. With all my heart, sweet happy life. The follow the day, be dancing night. Stars for your smile, moons for your hair, and someone's wonderful love for your loving heart to share. My wish for you, sweet happy life. May all your sorrows be gone and your heart begin to sing. If a wish can make it be, I wish to spend every day of your happy life with me. Stars for your smile, moons for your hair, and someone's wonderful love for your loving heart to share. My wish for you, sweet happy happy life. Sweet happy life.
This is Monitor, yours for good listening, every weekend, everywhere. I'm Ed McMahon. A French submarine, the second largest of World War II, has been discovered at the bottom of the ocean off the coast of Connecticut. The Hartford diver adventurer who found her and now claims her as salvage tells his dramatic story later this half hour. Less than 3 minutes away, Arlene Francis and her guest, actress and licensed interior decorator Joan Fontaine, who reveals one of her decorating goofs. Modern music first, Marilyn May and Sherry.
Sherry, you fill my cup with happiness, Sherry. You fill it up with happiness. You make this life a glorious game. The sound of your name can set me aflame with gay anticipation. Sherry, you make me feel deliciously merry, and oh so high. Swear champagne is overrated, I'm just plain intoxicated, Sherry.
On Monitor, Arlene Francis, brought to you by O'Brien Paint. Be sure the paint you're buying is O'Brien. Here's Arlene.
A glimpse into a celebrity home in just 1 minute when my guest will be Joan Fontaine, actress, world traveler, and licensed interior decorator. One of the most beautiful things about a piece of fine furniture is the exquisite hand-rubbed finish. It takes time, patience, and skill to bring up just the right luster in good wood. Or it takes a can of O'Brien's Pen Chrome Clear Satin. This is the clear, non-yellowing coating that gives wood a hand-rubbed look without hand-rubbing. You simply brush it on. You can use it over Pen Chrome wood stains, and there are dozens to choose from, or over raw wood to enhance its natural beauty. The formula for this marvelous finish includes special flatting pigments to help produce the expensive hand-rubbed satin look. What's more, O'Brien's Pen Chrome Clear will help give your furniture, cabinets, woodwork, or trim a finish that is waterproof, ma-resistant, and non-yellowing. Ask for Pen Chrome Clear Satin the next time you're at your O'Brien paint dealer. Joan Fontaine, you've made at least 55 films, starred in at least 15 plays, and right now you're starring in The Armored Dove at the Westbury Music Fair. How did you ever find the time to become a licensed interior decorator?
Well, one can do that and still be in the theater. It's great fun. I'm going to do two apartments of friends now. But I love prowling around, getting the swatches and looking at antique shops, all of which one can do even when one's on the road.
Yes, if you're well organized, and you are.
But it's fun.
I understand you recently completed your own New York City apartment. Can you tell us something of what it's like?
Well, you know it fairly well, Arlene. It's, I would say, mostly part of the rooms are done in English furniture. The rest is in Italian and French, principally because I have a penthouse in Beverly Hills, which I've done in Oriental furniture and around some prints and screens and some modern Chinese painting that I got when I was there. So this is a complete different atmosphere and rather nice. And you know how tremendously important having a home is for anyone in the theater. We see it so little. Mm-hmm. But it's essential that there's some little nook in the world that just belongs to you and is the way you want it to be, to compensate for all those hotels and motels and terrible dressing rooms that we have instead of that glamorous life everybody thinks we do lead.
Yes. Do you have a favorite room in your apartment? Your own cozy nook that you take to?
I think the library, Arlene, which, you know, is with a fireplace, and it has terracotta walls, paneled wood. I think that's probably my coziest and most favorite. I can also do my correspondence and reading in that room, and it's a sanctuary.
Yes. Have you ever had, as you've done these different apartments and so forth, have you ever had any serious decorating problem where you've made a gigantic mistake that's cost you a lot of money?
Oh, I shall never forget. I papered one wall once, and a friend of mine came in and said, oh, this is your new house, it's fine. Of course, you must start by taking that hideous wallpaper away. I did too, aren't you?
Joan, since you have traveled in so many countries, do you make some effort to try and find some special piece of furniture or painting in these different countries so that you have it as part of your life at home?
I find that those don't usually blend. When I was in England this year, I went prowling through the countryside, which was a glorious sport, into all the antique shops, bought quite a lot of English furniture for my apartment. However, I'd like to buy one thing in any country I am, so I have decided years ago to have a mixed teacup set. So I buy a beautiful Dresden cup here or a Meissen one there, wherever I happen to be. And even if you are in Oriental countries, let's say, you can usually find a lovely English or French piece of china.
Do you display these in any place?
No, I use them.
You use them?
I use everything that I have, except perhaps some beautiful lower stuff that is so precious that I do have that on display.
Joan Fontaine, thank you for giving us this verbal glimpse of your home. This is Arlene Francis for Monitor. Now this for O'Brien.
When it's paint you plan on buying, see the man who sells O'Brien. He can answer any questions you may have. He'll explain just how to use the O'Brien paint you choose for quality, top quality. Be sure you see the man who sells O'Brien.
One more time.
Be sure the paint you're buying is O'Brien.
Hear Arlene Francis throughout every weekend on Monitor.
You told me that others before you were foolish to cause me to cry. And just when I learned to adore you, you kissed one more dream goodbye and left me lonely again. Just like you found me lonely again. No arms around me, just when I'm sure that my heart is secure and my teardrops are dry with a warm glow inside. And this love of mine till the end of the line, that's always the time that I'm lonely again. You told me you wanted me only, that this time and this love would last. You told me I'd never be lonely, and now you belong to the past, and I'm so lonely. just like you found me. That my heart is secure and my teardrops are dry with a warm glow inside and this love of mine till the end of the line. That's always the time that I'm lonely again.
That was Eddie Arnold on Monitor.
That covers the club dues. Now let's hear from Al Bixby on entertainment. Al? Al?
Al?
When you can't afford to be dull, sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze Keep Alert tablets or new chewable mints, safe as coffee, help you become more naturally alert to people and conditions around you.
Sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze keeps you alert.
You know, a haircut in one Minneapolis barbershop includes a free fringe benefit, nudist films. Patrons being clipped or waiting their turn may view the nudie movies in color. The owner proudly announces he's the first adults-only tonsorial parlor in the nation. Makes you sort of curious, doesn't it? Not about the movies, but I wonder what kind of haircuts a distracted barber might give. More good music directly ahead, so stay on the Monitor Beat.
Hi, this is Lee Leonard, and I'd like to know how you spend your afternoons from 1 till 4. Maybe, just maybe, if you're my kind of people, I'll invite you to spend them with me on WNBC. First of all, you have to like to laugh. Secondly, I'll expect you to be a trifle irreverent. Then you have to enjoy silly games and serious conversation. I like people who are hip to little-known facts like, who played Humphrey Bogart's mother in Dead End? Sometimes I'll want you to stump me with your own questions. So, if you think you qualify, call me. Lee Leonard on Plaza 7, 8866. And we'll see what kind of arrangements we can make.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of conversation.
Ed McMahon and Monitor once again at 12 minutes before the hour. The perfect time for the Gunther Kallman chorus to sing Chanson d'amour.
More and more.
way it tastes.
I agree. There's nothing like a lark.
Lark has a good, easy taste.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
I think they're the nicest cigarette there is.
Right. There's nothing like a lark.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
During the months of World War II, when Nazi submarine wolf packs waited off the coast of New England to sink U.S. and Allied ships, one particular sub was a vital mothership. The vessel was the Seer Cove, a refueling boat manned by a French-speaking German crew. U.S. warships and aircraft sighted it and blasted it to the bottom of the sea off the Connecticut coast. It's now been located and claimed as salvage by a diver adventurer, Lee Prettyman, Jr. of Hartford, whose discovery has stirred up international reverberations. Prettyman tells his dramatic story to Monitor reporter Frank Knight.
Lee, how does it feel to get involved in international intrigue?
Well, I've been looking over my shoulders everywhere I go now since this story has been revealed, though I don't feel like any 007 or anything else like that.
Lee, how did you first get wind of this mysterious sub of World War II?
Well, we had returned from this U-853, which is a story in itself. We were speaking of it in a lounge in Newport. And this German sailor, well, he was a U.S. sailor at the time. He heard us talking, and he said, well, that U-853 is a fine submarine. It was a beauty, et cetera, et cetera. He says, but I know where a larger and a better submarine is. So we took him into our confidence. We bought him drinks, and he promised to take us out that following week, which we did go out, and he found the approximate location. Using Loran sonar and the phantometer, we came upon this huge object that was uncharted in this particular area. And my first dive aboard was like diving upon the Queen Mary or some other huge vessel. I'd never seen anything quite like it. I'd dived on submarines before, the G-2, the G-3, also the U-853, so I knew pretty much what a submarine looked like. However, the Surkov, with its turret and the huge round boiler-type looking turret that it had, distinguished it from any other thing that I'd ever seen. It wasn't a battleship. It wasn't a cruiser. I could see that this outline was what this German fella had informed us of. I worked my way along the bow rail till I had got to a large opening where either a bomb, artillery, or some shell had blown a hole in her forward deck.
Now, Lee, did you go inside the submarine?
No, until this moment, I have not been inside the submarine. We were making plans on going in the submarine. However, the torpedoes, the black powder, all the ammunition is still active within the submarine.
Could you see the submarine clearly as you dove to it, or was it just a murky outline?
On various days I've gone aboard her, I have photos of her that I could see some distance of 60 feet. And other days I've gone down, I could barely see the submarine after I was 5 feet from her.
What about salvage possibilities?
The whole submarine itself?
Yes.
I had looked at it. That is an impossibility. The cost of salvaging the vessel like that, and the time, and the area that you're working in, it would be prohibitive.
Has anybody else gone down and seen the submarine with you?
My crew.
Well, what's on the future agenda as far as the Surkov is concerned, Lee?
We're going to strip her from the outside. And we're also planning to set detonations to blow open the hatch that contains the seaplane and bring her to the surface.
Now, Lee, I understand that there might be some gold bullion aboard the Surkov.
If there is, I will not risk my life and the crew's life with as much black powder as aboard that vessel to either cut into the wrong place or to set an explosive that would be heard in about three states.
Well, Lee, can't you get a blueprint of the submarine from the French government?
I think this would be almost impossible now. I'm not in very good favor with the French government. I mean, if I would write for any blueprint or anything, I would probably be sent a blueprint that would be inflammable to swell upon touch or something like that.
So what happens as far as the Surkov is concerned?
As far as the Surkov is concerned, it's mine.
And what will you do with it?
I'm going to strip her as much as I possibly can and make as much money as I possibly can out of her.
Our guest has been a tough and adventurous sea diver who has found the second largest and most mysterious submarine of World War II, the French Surcouf. This is Frank Knight for Monitor.
You're traveling through the weekend world with Monitor.
When you think of air conditioning, think of central air conditioning. Think of cooling your whole home, not just a room or two. Bryant Air Conditioning is the best kind of air conditioning, 'cause Bryant cooled your whole home, not just a room or two.
Think about air conditioning your entire home with Bryant Quiet Line Air Conditioning. You'll keep cool and won't have to put up with so much humidity, dust, dirt, and noise. Check with your Bryant dealer for more information on Bryant Quiet Line Air Conditioning. We call it Quiet Line because it really is.
When you think of air conditioning, think of central air conditioning. Think of cooling your whole home, not just a room or two. Bryant Air Conditioning is the best kind of air conditioning, 'cause Bryant cools your whole home, not just a room or two.
For a free estimate, see the yellow pages for the Bryant dealer nearest you.
Comfort's capable crew playing Hold Me. Parting is such sweet sorrow. But we'll return immediately after you're brought up to date on the nation and the world through NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Which is next? This is Ed McMahon.
Keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. Go ahead.
Bock beer is here, and it's better than ever. It's going faster than ever, too. So look for Ballantine Bock wherever beer is sold. It's Wunderbock.
Hey, friends, do it again. Ballantine, Ballantine beer.
Wide awake people open their eyes to the sound of Big Wilson, weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on the big voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.